Here at Kerygma Ventures, our love for the Bible doesn't stop us from having questions about it. Quite the opposite. Our love for the Bible makes us more curious about it. Do you sometimes wonder how the message of the New Testament gives meaning to the Old Testament? Are you fascinated by how Scripture applies to your life? If you do, head over to studythebibleguide.com to get some answers. Listen, we've got a simple guide to give you. It's free, and it's packed with practical tools to help you study the Bible. That website again is studythebibleguide.com. And thanks for listening to this Kerygma Ventures podcast. God bless.
Hi, I'm Karis Hall McCollum. I'm sitting here with my dad, Dudley Hall, and you're joining us for an episode of Papa, I Have a Question, where I just literally get to sit down with my dad and ask him questions that have been bugging me. I've realized over the years that I have an amazing resource in my dad as a great theologian, Bible teacher. And so when I have a question, I can just say, hey, Papa, help me think through this. And as an educator, I know that if one person has a question, usually someone else has that same question. And so we're asking you to join us as I just ask Papa some questions. Okay, Papa, so you've been speaking recently a lot at our events, retreats, and just in conversation about the issue of and the importance of knowing and acknowledging who has the final word or the final authority in your life. And we've been talking about it a lot at home, even with our boys, of like, hey, we need to use this verbiage. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that we know that this is important. And so I thought, you know what? Walk us through. What does that mean that Jesus has the final word in your life? Like, what does that mean?
Well, life is about making decisions.
Yeah.
And so how do we go about getting to the place where we make a decision? Who has the final influence in my life?
Yeah.
Is it me? Well, if that's true, then I'm limited to whatever I know to bring to bear on the decision I'm making, whether it's a moral decision, a money decision, a political decision, or whatever.
Yeah.
How do I make that decision? What is the greatest influencer? Who has the last word? So obviously we would say, I would have said years ago, well, everybody knows that's God.
Yeah.
But that's changed. It's like, okay, slowly we've said, move to finding other authorities like, the culture in modernism said science has the last word.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, if science says it, then that's
true.
It.
Yeah.
But science itself, in order to be science, has limitations. Science is, it can only make conclusions based on repeatable observation.
Right.
And, you know, if there's not a cause and effect that can be observed, then... So,
it's just a hypothesis.
Exactly. So science is not a good final authority because
right.
it can't even deal with metaphysical stuff.
Right, things that can't be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so if science is not it, then what is? Then, okay, well, government. Well, that's not a good idea because government is run by people and people are flawed and get corrupt. And
mm-hmm.
So government's not a good authority, though it's been tried many times. So,
pastors, I feel like pastors are often looked at as like, okay, well, you just tell us what to do and we'll do it.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in the athletic world, and so the coaches were the final authorities.
Yep.
I think I know how to run a play that would be better than that, but the coach said, you do it.
Yep, you do what the coach says.
But now we've come to the place in society where you are the final authority.
Yeah.
You were always a final authority, and you can choose however you want to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I've, in recent days, have tried to come back to go, okay, you need to really examine who does have the final authority
right.
in your life. Because you think it's you, it ain't.
Right. Someone is.
Someone is talking to you.
Yes.
And so Paul makes that really clear in Romans 6, where he says, when you obey someone, you become a slave of the one you obey. Either you're listening to the voice of the serpent who's lying to you, and that's your final authority, or you're listening to God who's telling you the truth and liberating you, and that's your final authority. But he says it's binary. There are only two.
That's so good, because right now we think, oh, no, there's so many, like,
yeah, you know? I kind of grew up thinking there were three. You know, the devil.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's like, yeah, yeah.
Devil made me do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when it's a temptation that I know, it's like, yeah, that's the devil.
Yeah.
And then it's God. But then the big one was me.
Yeah.
You know, I got a world.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm choosing one or the mm-hmm. other. And whatever I choose to be my final authority, I'm choosing to be my master.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah. So that's why it's important.
Yeah. And so, okay, let's talk about if we're choosing the serpent, which the serpent, let's acknowledge, comes in lots of shiny, exciting, beautiful, tempting forms. The serpent often it looks easier and looks better than the narrow way. And so if I'm choosing that, what are the consequences? What does that look like long term? If God is not my final authority, what happens in my life? I don't mean like, you know, consequences of sin. I mean like what's the flow chart of that?
Yeah. Well, Romans 1, Paul is explaining why the gospel is necessary for all the world, not just Jews, not just Romans. It's right. for everybody. Everybody that God created them with the capacity to know God, to know the final authority, and not only the capacity to do that, but actually the recognition that there is a God, there's a God of order, there's a God of creation. He is so big that he deserves listening to, acknowledging as God. Everybody was created with that. But he said what's happened in all of humanity is that when we knew God as God, we listened to the serpent and we said, I think there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
I want an alternative way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did not let God have the final authority, then we got confused about reality. Mm-hmm. So it says, when they did not recognize God as God, they began to worship the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where all the worshiping the moon and the stars and the golden calves and the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't recognize God as the final authority, then you will misname who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all heard people say, well, my God wouldn't do so-and-so. Well, okay, that's fine. I believe you. Your God probably wouldn't, but I'm not interested in your God.
That's right.
He doesn't exist. I want to know what the God.
The real God.
Yeah. What does he say? Because what he says goes.
Right.
Whether I want it to be true or not.
Yeah.
So it says they became confused about the nature of God. Then they became confused about the nature of
man.
Of man.
Yeah.
And so then the sexual perversion comes in on that. It's like, okay, men started desiring men and women started desiring women. And so they got confused about the purpose of sex, the purpose of relating and the differences and the legitimate differences in the two and the intended attraction for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they even go to where you don't know what man is.
Right.
Which is where we are in a lot of society today. It's like, okay, if God is not the final authority, then I guess you are. If you feel a little manly today, you become a man, and you can do irreparable damage to your body trying to live that out and so forth. So, and then it gets all the way down to where you can't recognize truth.
Yeah.
If you don't recognize God, you won't recognize the true nature of man, you won't recognize truth. And that's a reprobate man's mind. And so it says, we get to the place where we not only believe a lie, but we promote it.
Yes.
And we affirm it. And so he tells all of that not to make us get in depression, but he's saying that's why the gospel needs to go, because the gospel will restore all of that.
Yeah.
The gospel says Jesus has the final authority. The reason he has the final authority is because he is the fulfillment of Adam. He is the ultimate human. He is the ultimate Israelite. He lived up to all the covenant that God made with Moses for the Israel to live like, to live up to be obedient to. And he got all the blessings of being obedient to that covenant, and he paid the curse of violating that covenant. Mm. And so because he has done everything that man was created to do, then he has the final word. So,
right.
So Peter says on the day of Pentecost, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father, and he is both Lord and Christ. He has a final word. And when he said that, all the Jews there went, well, if that's true, then what must we do? In other words, if he has a final word, what is that word?
Yeah, what is the, yeah.
And that's the next question. If Jesus has a final word, what's the word?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, believe in the one whom he sent and repent. Which means you got to change your mind about the old reality, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that was promised to the Father. So, I think the biggest question that people, our society is having to ask today is, who has the final word?
Yeah.
And then the next question is,
what is it?
What is it?
Yeah, that's so good. I love, I asked about the flow chart. Like, I love the way you break it down, because I think we can see, like, we're living in confusion. We're confused about how to relate to things. We're confused about how to relate to animals. We're confused about how to relate to each other. But it's not complicated.
Right.
The solution is not complicated. The solution is know who God is.
Yeah.
And he revealed himself. He is not a God who kept himself hidden. He's a God who revealed himself by sending Jesus,
yeah,
who is the final authority. And so, I mean, believe. Repent, and repent doesn't mean, oh, I'm so sorry. Repent means go, Jesus is the final word.
Yeah.
Get to know him. And he gave us a whole book to get to know him. So it feels heavy, and it feels weighty, and it feels thick, but it's not.
Right.
That's so
good. And the great thing is, he didn't just come and tell us all the truth. He didn't give us a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, a lesson is more like an Old Testament view of what they thought. The covenant, the Constitution, the Torah is a lesson, 560
parts
of the lesson. You know, 615, I guess it was. Anyway, no, he said, no, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to give you the teacher.
Yeah.
And the teacher is going to live in you. And he's going to say, move to the left, move to the right. And so if Jesus is the final word is he has come to live in me. And that he will guide me in my daily decisions.
That's so good. That's so good. Okay, thank you for joining us. For Papa, I Have a Question. Join us next time when I'll have some more questions.
Thank you so much for listening to the Kerygma Ventures podcast. We'd love for you to join us next week as we continue to bring you conversations and messages that challenge you to live a life of grace and freedom, developing a thriving relationship with Jesus. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you share it with someone in your life who you know would be encouraged to hear it? Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.